Broadcasting live. Good evening, Blockhead Nation. Thank you for stopping by once again. You are listening to your favorite Blockhead, the only podcast in the podcasting world that can somehow incorporate the Peanuts comic strip 1 minute and then be talking about MMA and warriors inside the octagon the next. I am your host. My name is Brian Little. It looks like there's a lot of y'all that are starting to become interested in making your way over to this podcast, since a lot of you I've connected with from Launchpad 1, and there might be some misconceptions and misunderstandings about what this show is about. Let me start off with what I always tell my listeners. On this show, God is King, Peanuts is the single greatest comic strip and most successful comic strip in American history, and MMA is the greatest sport under God's hot sun. I'll be covering topics on all of those things. What I'll start with is simply, there have been a lot of discussions I've had on other social media outlets such as Clubhouse or other ones like Instagram, and they're finding out that, oh, this guy is not just an MMA enthusiast or a Charlie Brown enthusiast. He happens to be a teacher. Yes, my answer is always teacher by day, podcaster by weekend. And often I'm asked, what made you want to go into that profession? And it's almost a clever spinoff or a unique way to say that Charlie Brown did become a teacher. If you go back and think about what it was for him in the classroom, all you could hear was bum, 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 and it would be yes, ma'am, and there was a lot of compliance, and there's not a lot of clear student-teacher-peer relationship that went on between the two. So you never know what Charlie Brown became. His dad happened to be a barber. We don't really know what Charlie Brown would have been as a profession, unless you're talking about Family Guy perspective, which is a little bit dark and morbid. But when it comes to being a educator, it's almost like you can look at it and say Charlie Brown did become a teacher. Well, a person who calls themselves your favorite blockhead, I'm not the numero uno blockhead, who would be none other than Sparky himself, me and Charles Schulz, the original mind behind the Peanuts characters from Charlie Brown, Snoopy, Linus, and the gang. But really, a lot of my introduction into history started with Charlie Brown. It started with the This Is America series. If you've never seen those, you can find them. I've done a couple of episodes on here where I do my own spin on it, on This Is America, you blockhead. Been a few episodes back where I discuss things like the episode about the NASA space station or about the Mayflower Voyage or about Benjamin Franklin and his inventions, or maybe something about the blues in America. All of these are discussed in that, the early inventors. So people like Alexander Graham Bell were talked about, and Thomas Edison. So all of these names, these well-known, iconic American figures, I got my first introduction into that by watching the series This Is America, Charlie Brown. And funny enough, the adults on that one did speak. So from a historical perspective, Charles Schulz would let him talk, but he wouldn't let him talk in current day. I always thought that was interesting. You couldn't understand unless there were certain episodes. Either way, I did become an educator, but there's so many reasons that I can go through. And I've been hearing many horror stories of what some of the listeners of my show or people that I've interacted with have experienced from teachers. If I can take a minute, I mentioned this on my Facebook page. I gave my top five favorite movies of all time. Now, granted, the animated movie will always be the Peanuts movie of 2015. I believe the movie is almost flawless, 95% accurate, maybe even more than that. But either way, I broke down my top five, and I said that my top five movies were, starting with number five, were Forrest Gump. Number four was Warrior. That shouldn't surprise anybody that's an MMA enthusiast. Number three is the one I want to talk about. Number two happened to be Good Will Hunting, which has a great reference to history in it, to greats like Gordon Wood, who wrote the book called The Radicalism of the American Revolution. He's mentioned in there. He's a history professor at Brown University. And then you have my number one favorite, which is The Shawshank Redemption. Hands down, my favorite movie of all time. But my number three, if you have not watched this, do yourself a favor and go watch the movie Stand By Me from 1986. First of all, you have the introduction of Kiefer Sutherland before he became the Lost Boys, before he did roles that were very demonic, before he became Jack Bauer on 24. He was Ace on Stand By Me. Total, utter, and complete jerk. But you have these boys that show what coming from a young kid into their first step into manhood is really all about. I mean, they're still immature, they're still needy, they're still wanting to step into their big boy shoes and put up their big boy pants, and others are going to be further along than a few. Either way, that's getting deep into the plot if you haven't seen the movie. But if you've seen it, please go back and watch one scene between Gordy and Chris Chambers, okay? Rest in peace, River Phoenix. One of the greatest roles that you'll ever see by this young kid. And there's a lot of stories behind that. Either way, point being, there is a story of betrayal that happens in that scene from Stand By Me. If you listen to him share this narrative where, yes, he did something wrong. Yes, he took the milk money. I don't want to go into the whole detail, but if you want a spoiler alert, here it is. He felt sorry and wanted to give it back. But what happened is he gets a 3-day suspension. No questions asked. This is a kid that's from the rough side of the tracks. This is a kid who has a reputation. Even his brother has got him branded early on. But what happens is this teacher, who he brings it to, that he should have been able to trust to bring the money forward to the administration and say, well, he confessed, he fessed up, here it is, it's all there. Now what do we do? Isn't what happened. What ends up happening is that these administrators, well, technically it's not the administrator, but they don't know the money never showed up. Why? Because the teacher took her opportunity to take the milk money and go buy herself a new dress. And there's a whole section where River Phoenix just breaks down and just loses it. And he says in that moment, I never thought that a teacher... He doesn't even finish the sentence. Blockhead Nation, he doesn't have to. You can fill in the blanks of what happened here. This kid is betrayed by the one person that he's got left in his life that maybe he can trust. He certainly can't get it from home. He can't get it from the officials in that town. He's got a reputation that precedes him. So things like that do stir my inner core. Things like that do bother Blockhead. And there's also, if you want to look, and everybody's wanting to chase success, let me give you an eye-opener here. All of us want to be able to do something that we enjoy, pursue our passion, and make money, okay? None of us are going to come close to the gentleman I'm talking about. Any of you ever heard of a guy named Warren Buffett? Yeah, that guy. That boomer, Kent Hint, who is considered the greatest investor in the history of America. This guy, his only rivals are Bill Gates of Microsoft and Jeff Bezos of Amazon. Warren Buffett and his confidant, his associate, Mr. Charlie Munger. These guys are worth billions of dollars with their company, Berkshire Hathaway. He was asked in an interview, how does he want to be remembered? You know what he said? Teacher. Not greatest investor that ever lived. Not the owner of Berkshire. Company owner or manager of Berkshire Hathaway. Not the right-hand man to his confidant, which would be Charlie Munger. None of that. He says, teacher. You want proof he wanted to be a history teacher? During the COVID-19 pandemic, when he finally came forward and spoke and hadn't had a haircut, he gives something that nobody wanted to pay attention to. Everybody's falling asleep, yawn. Waiting on what he's going to do, what stocks he's going to buy, which ones he's going to sell, what's he going to hold. We all want to get to the point. But what does he do before that time period? He gives a history lesson. Guys, I sat through it. It was painful. But for a history teacher like me, it clarifies that the early merchants of the 13 colonies on into the greatest, biggest land purchase in American history, the 1803 Louisiana Purchase, will show you that all the evidence is clear that you don't bet against America, even in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of a stock market crash, in the midst of an embargo 1973, in the midst of a huge housing bubble that burst, in the midst of all these things, you don't bet against America. But he had a chance to be a history teacher in that moment. The wealthiest man that's ever been in America wants to be remembered as teacher. Maybe, just maybe, I find my position as a middle school social studies teacher fulfilling. That I can show, this is America, you blockheads. Maybe some of you blockheads in training that need to hear this. Gordon Wood once said, history is to a society what memory is to an individual. Maybe there's something fulfilling in that. Maybe I can help avoid a few of these kids who have stories of betrayal, like in Stand By Me. Maybe, just maybe, there can be a movement in the right direction for us that are in the profession for the right reasons, who really do want to make a difference. Blockhead Nation, thank you once again for tuning into this episode of the Your Favorite Blockhead Podcast. This show is sponsored by KitCaster. Guys, did you know that having a podcast is a great way to grow not only your personal brand, but your business? Here's the secret. We all want to feel connected to brands we buy from. And what better way to humanize a brand than through sharing your story on a podcast? That's where KitCaster comes in. KitCaster is a podcast booking agency that specializes in developing real human connections through podcast appearances. Whether you're an expert in the field or you just have a unique story to share, it's time to explore the world of podcasting with KitCaster. Go to the link at kitcaster.com/blockhead to apply for a special offer for listeners of this show. That's kitcaster.com/blockhead. You'll find that in the blog, the notes for today's show. Let's get back to the episode. Our scripture reading for this podcast comes from Proverbs chapter 14, verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. I share this because it's popular, it's attractive. If one tries to reason why folly and fools can be popular, consider this. It's almost in the same way that a fish looks at the bait. It's attractive. It's worth grasping onto. There's a hidden danger that the fish is ignoring. It's ignoring the hook. To consider all this as we gain knowledge and understand who he truly is, guys, as we make all other idols are pushed aside and we put our life in what would God want us to be, and let there be no other gods before him. May that be inspirational to you, and may you continue to push forward in the knowledge of the truth and the word. And so, as I look to gain truth, I am so in almost dismay, and I'm totally in utter confusion, because I have to ask the question. We've had an event that happened. We had Anderson Silva versus Tito Ortiz. First round, we got a knockout. And I just have to ask, in the history of boxing, we know that there has been some trickery afoot. We know that there's something devious that happens inside of the boxing realm. It happens in any sport. I know it happens in MMA, but is it prevalent like it is in boxing? Was Tito actually knocked out by Anderson Silva, or was this him taking a dive? I don't know. Why? Because I have so much proof that he has lied in the past. Let me take you back a few minutes, just for the sake of MMA. Since this is an MMA section for my podcast, people always asking, why you got to go so much about Tito Ortiz? Let me tell you why. It comes from the sting of him losing to one of my fighters. He faces Chael Sonnen in Bellator. Okay, we have an event where I go to my friend's house. We're watching, even with his daughter is there, and I'm having to maintain my composure and watch what I say. But I'm watching this fight, and something just doesn't seem right. It seems like that Tito would have tapped in the guillotine choke that Chael had him in. But they continue fighting. And so eventually, there's a rear naked choke, and John McCarthy ends up calling them out from Chael tapping to Tito. But my question is, I'm driving to work. This is not long after this. I'm accepting the defeat. It is what it is. My guy lost. I'm on my way to work. I'm on my way to go teach these kids. And my jaw ends up dropping into my lap because I hear Chael confess that Tito tapped in that fight. He wasn't going to say anything because he had just retired from the sport. He literally put his gloves inside of the cage, which is identifying that this fighter is taking his retirement. Just like in wrestling, if you take your shoes off on the mat, you know that this is his last match. If a fighter takes his gloves off and sets them down, he's done, or he says that he is. Well, there comes this opportunity where Fedor Emelianenko is coming back, and now all of a sudden Tito wants to insert himself into the conversation. This is where Chael just takes his gloves off and said, okay, you tapped in that fight, but you verbally tapped, and John McCarthy didn't call it. I had a friend, a good friend of mine who listens to this podcast, who told me that he was in presence and said, no, he didn't tap twice. He yelled three times, I tap, I tap. So it's always been irritating when I know that he will lie about that when he's leaving political office and now he's going into a boxing match, which is he asked to take a dive or this is this a legitimate knockout? Either way, he's coming out of boxing with an L. He's 0-1. But I just wonder, Tito, are you being truthful with your fans that still follow you or not? And you're being accosted on this show. You don't need my approval. But if anybody would probably go along with what's being given, monkey see, monkey do, it's Tito. Now, as far as continuing into the boxing realm, a lot of you guys are watching the Paul brothers. So it looks like there's going to be some type of camaraderie, some type of merger that'll happen between Vitor Belfort and Anderson Silva taking on the Logan brothers. Sorry, taking on the Paul brothers. I'm getting their names mixed up because they don't matter too much to me. It's not like they need my approval, millions of viewers on YouTube. But I throw this out there. Sometimes people ask me, what is so special about some of these fighters that you listen to? Who are the most popular? And I always tell them that one of them is Conor McGregor as the Golden Goose. Then I've got to explain about Nate Diaz, who just came off a loss off of Leon Edwards, who steals the limelight from the winner. But there's a third one, and it's Jorge Masvidal. If ever I needed any proof to you that Jorge Masvidal is still a massive star in mixed martial arts, it's that Jake Paul just called him out. Jake Paul just asked for a bout with what he called your best striker, Uncle Dana. He literally puts out the challenge and says that he wants Jorge Masvidal. Now, that gets fascinating because is he going to cross over into that same realm? And then when he was commentating, apparently, on this Triller fight, this circus disaster that happened over here, because I can't even speak on the Triller fight, just on the results. But apparently, he's done some commentating on it, and now we know that Masvidal has gained the interest of Jake Paul, of one Jake Paul, who would be an interesting bout for him at this point. Either way, that's the name that's being tossed around. I've told you that when it comes to an American standpoint, yes, you got international superstars. Yes, you got your best pound for pound. Yes, you got a very unique sport here. But when I have American fans that are asking who are the top three that are on the lips of every MMA fan, it goes back to those three. Now you got clarification of that if Jake Paul is asking for him. Is he the right move for his camp? I guess we'll see if he ends up if the fight's actually offered on contract. This is just a call out over this thing the kids call social media. Some of y'all are listening through that right now because you went through the medium itself, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Either way, Masvidal is still a massive sport, and he hasn't defended the BMF title once. It's a very strange sport that I follow. If you want to get into what's important with the punches and the kicks, yes, we have a main event tonight. Haven't even talked about it yet. Anthony Lionheart Smith versus Ryan Spann. Ryan Spann's coming off of a split decision against my guy, Smiling Sam Alvey. And you have Anthony Smith, who is the one guy that told it like it is at this point. What do I mean by that? He mentioned in an interview, if there's somebody when it comes to commentary that you can trust. He may not be the one that has the best spicy humor. He may not be the one that talks the crowd in and really keeps you enthralled. But if you want to trust the opinion of the commentator, it seems like Anthony Smith is not afraid to tell you like it is. And what he said is, for the light heavyweight division, we were coming upon a time when we were getting close to seeing John Jones lose. Anthony Lionheart Smith could have taken the knee to the head. He could have taken that illegal knee, but he didn't. Either way, that is true heart of a champion right there. As far as how he did against Glover Teixeira, different story now that Glover Teixeira is facing the champion, Jan Blachowicz. But when it comes to Anthony Smith or Thiago Santos, these guys that are facing John Jones, they're not able to overcome him, but they're coming a lot closer than other opponents have in the past. So everybody still in light heavyweight is trying to catch up to considerably the best light heavyweight of all time. If he would just get out of his own way, it would be John Bones Jones. I'd give it to him. It wasn't for so many things that caused him to stumble outside of the cage. It's a little diplomatic the way that I'm saying that, too. I think you can figure out why he got stripped of his title so many times. Do I need to put two and two together for you? The greatest enemy for John Jones was John Jones, but a few people were coming close. People like Anthony Smith. People like Thiago Santos. People like even the first time he fought Alexander Gustafsson. Not so much on the second one, but as far as to cover that tonight, that's going on for the main event. We'll see the results of Anthony Lionheart Smith. Either way, even if he has to dust himself off after losing to Ryan Spann, he'll go back to the broadcast booth and we can trust what he's telling us. At least it seems like for the time being. He ends up taking the win, and he's still 1.5 steps behind John Jones. Or 1 step behind Jan Blachowicz and Glover Teixeira. Now we look into 1FC. I just have had some news that came out about Mighty Mouse, Demetrius Johnson. Oh, my favorite light heavyweight of all time. Who's getting a chance to have a roundabout that's a little unique. The first round is going to be Muay Thai rules. The second one is MMA. Third round goes back to Muay Thai. Fourth one is MMA. I'm not sure what's going on in the fifth round. That's just a free-for-all. I really couldn't tell you. But if I'm going to be logical, it seems like once we get to the MMA bout, if DJ, Mighty Mouse, can withstand that first round of Muay Thai rules, he can easily win by submission in the second round. You want to see impressive, incredible submissions by anybody in the world of MMA. It's Mighty Mouse Demetrius Johnson. Hands down. Love that guy. So it's going to be fun to see what the results of that for 1FC. You know, a very unorthodox style versus the MMA rules. Are they going to allow knees that are grounded? I think they're going to because they're known for that. And also we have some breaking news that is heartbreaking. That over in Bellator, we have a real situation with Anthony Rumble Johnson. Apparently, he is out of the fight that he's going to have with the champion, Vadim Nemkov. Was looking forward to that bout. Apparently, according to the posts we've seen, it's not COVID, but it is something that could possibly be life-threatening. So our prayers go up for Anthony Rumble Johnson and his family as he faces this bout that he's dealing with. We're not getting a whole lot of great information on it, but thoughts going out to you, Rumble. Either way, it would have been nice to see you mix it up with Nemkov for the championship over there. And I guess maybe one day we'll see if that comes to fruition. Either way, that's a quick little wrap of everything that's going on in my mind when it comes to MMA. We got a big card coming up next week. A lot more to discuss. UFC 266, very promising. My birthday present is coming up in November when we have Madison Square Garden, a fight where Michael Chandler and Justin Gaethje are not even the co-main event or the main event. In Madison Square Garden. A lot more to discuss there. Plenty of things on the plate coming up. So thank you guys for coming by. Again, continue to support Launchpad One. Even though yours truly isn't in the running, we got some great friends of the Blockhead Nation that are over there now putting forth their best effort. Continue to go to Launchpad One and check out those that are in the Self-Made Podcast competition. We send our love to them. One day we can get past that hang-up, and one day we'll get a panel on Podcast One that will be nice to see. Even if it wasn't meant to be on this competition, that seems to be the last thing that is on my checklist for this show, is to somehow get a panel on Podcast One. The day will come when that is due, but that was not due. That was not meant to be in this roundabout. So we'll see you guys the next time around. Either way, I'll see you for sure, listeners of this show, next Saturday. Continue to support the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Launchpad One, anywhere else you listen to your podcasts. Review, rate, and subscribe will always be helpful. Check out all of the great podcasts on the YFB Network. Can't forget them. Go, you can find everything that's in the links on yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog, and we will see you next Saturday with more information and more fun topics. As you know it, same blockhead time, same blockhead channel.